Want to turn our attention to the story surrounding what are known as the lost Canadians, those attempting to get their citizenship back and perhaps may end up suing the government in order to do so. You can find out more about their plight at lostcanadian.com. Joining us to talk more about this story, we welcome to the program Don Chapman, who is a leader of the Lost Canadians. And again, lostcanadian.com is the website. Don, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ron.
Some recent developments we can talk about here, but just so can any listeners understand this story, maybe start for us, if you can, by giving us the background and just who are the Lost Canadians.
Rob, it goes back to the foundation of Canada. I mean, Canada became a country in 1867 under the British North American Act. A year later, they adopted their first form of unique Canadian identity, and it was called the Canadian Nationals Act. And it wasn't just Canada. It was probably written by the Brits, because it was at every British colony. And word for word, it stated, and this is the exact wording, married women, minors, lunatics, and idiots will be classified under the same disability for their national status. And that law remained on the books for 79 years, when finally they came in 1947 and adopted the first Citizenship Act of Canada, and it was the first time there were actually Canadian citizens. Now, women still were with less rights than men, and that remained until April 17th of 2009. So it's very hard for Canadians to picture that equality of rights for women in citizenship law did not happen until this year, and there were just huge anomalies and 9 ways to lose citizenship. It wasn't unique. I mean, it turns out that there could be upwards of between 500,000 and 1 million lost Canadians.
Well, how many people are we talking about today that are actively involved in this?
We are down to maybe 100 or 200 people, but one of the things that is so amazing here is we have a government that doesn't want to listen. They've slammed the door on us, and we're talking very common sense people. I mean, Guy Valliere was born in 1926 in Canada to a Canadian mother and a U.S. father, and that wasn't unique. The borders were porous way back when. So Guy grew up in Canada. He fought for Canada in World War II. He was a Canadian World War II soldier, yet he died this last February without being a Canadian citizen, all because of gender discrimination against his mother, because, see, his mother could not pass citizenship onto her child the way a man could. So we're talking some very old people. The oldest person we have is 98 years old. We are dealing with some of the what they called the home children. Are you familiar at all, or should
I remember the case, but if you want to just give kind of an overview.
The home children are people that came, maybe were orphaned in World War II or even World War I, and they were brought to Canada and a lot of the British colonies and kind of made to work in servitude. So they don't have papers to prove who they are, but they've been in Canada for basically all their lives. We have some of the war bride children, and these are pre-1947 births, and you have one in Calgary, Peter Brama. Well, Peter was born out of wedlock, and he was brought to Canada as a young child. He was here on January 1st of 1947. He spent his whole life in Canada. He's retired from the Canadian military, but he's not a Canadian. Why? Because the government's now saying he was born out of wedlock, so he doesn't deserve to be Canadian. Well, I mean, when you look at these cases, common sense would dictate that this is absurdly ridiculous. Then it gets worse, because there are laws that go way back. I mean, into 1927 was called the Legitimization Act, saying that if your parents subsequently married, your birth is legitimized. And it was upheld in the Supreme Court of Canada. Well, this government and the bureaucrats don't even know about the legislation. So they're actually, by denying Peter, they're denying him against the Supreme Court decision. So, I mean, what we should be doing is, for the last remaining whatever number, 100, 200, whenever they pop up, we shouldn't be having to battle and try to get their citizenship through going into the media and embarrassing the government. Anybody can see that these people are Canadian citizens, and it should just be a smooth transition. But there's no citizenship ombudsman. It's strictly dealing with the minister, and just, 4 days ago on Christmas Eve, this minister turned down, Jason Kenney, turned down a 2.5-year-old baby because her connection to Canada came through a woman. But her cousin, another 2.5-year-old girl, can be Canadian because of connection through a man. I mean, again, this is illegal. It's against the Supreme Court decision, a unanimous Supreme Court decision. And yet the questions are, I have to ask, is why is the government doing it?
Well, Don, stand by. We'll take a break here. We're going to come back. We'll talk a bit more about how Parliament has responded to this up until this point, some of the legislation we've seen. We'll talk about some more of the cases of these lost Canadians and the potential of legal action to perhaps get the government to finally address all of this. Don Chapman is head of the advocacy group Lost Canadians. Their website is lostcanadian.com. It's Rob Breckenridge in for Dave Rutherford. We're back after this. Speaking with Don Chapman, leader of the group, The Lost Canadians, lostcanadian.com. You can find out more about the work they're doing. Don, explain for us what changed, though, for many of these lost Canadians with what became known as the Lost Canadian Citizenship Act, which came into effect earlier this year.
Well, and this was championed by the Conservatives, and you know, more power to them on this one. This bill was retroactive, and it retroactively granted citizenship going backwards 62 years to people who had been stripped of their citizenship. Now, again, Canadians were very complacent. They became very American in some ways, in that the Americans are always saying, we're the world's greatest people, God bless us, we're number one. And if you question it in any way, and maybe say, well, maybe you're not number one in a certain area, they tend not to believe you because that's what they've been taught all their lives. Mm-hmm. Canadians, on the other hand, have been taught peace, order, good government, fairness, compassion, and human rights. So when I went around saying that there are some really nutty laws on the books regarding citizenship, Canadians tended not to believe me. And they tended not to believe me if I said, well, you know, you could be a lost Canadian. Well, that's nuts. I have a passport. I've lived here. I voted here. Well, as it turned out, there were members of Parliament that weren't Canadians. There were members of the Privy Council. I mean, even Senator Romeo Dallaire was a lost Canadian. He had been stripped of his citizenship. So it was so commonplace, and Canadians had a hard time believing it. So it didn't make the news very much, but the Conservatives took the gauntlet, if you will, and changed the law going back 62 years and welcomed back most all of the lost Canadians. And the law was a very good piece of legislation. What they then dropped the ball on is we have a few people like Jackie Scott, who was a war bride child, and she was born out of wedlock, and now they're denying her citizenship, but she married in Canada, voted in Canada, paid taxes. She even qualifies for a pension in Canada. Now, after 60-some years, she's being told she's not a Canadian. Well, she wasn't covered by the law, but she should be covered by common sense. And instead of embracing her, they told her she doesn't belong in Canada. So now we're kind of being forced to pretty much having to seek a judicial answer. And the last time we did that, the government admitted that it would cost into the tens of billions of dollars for Canadians. That's $600 for every Canadian man, woman, and child just to keep about just a handful of people out of Canada who already live in Canada. And this is where it starts getting nutty. So the law was fabulous, and I congratulate the Conservatives for doing what they did, but now they should be held accountable. They should never be playing games with people's citizenship, and they should be more embracing of these people than they are doing right now.
Talk about the implication for these people. I mean, it's not as though they're facing deportation or anything like this. And
yes,
and
actually they are.
Are some?
Yes.
Are some, really? Okay.
We had a guy, Bill Dubinin. And Bill Dubinin had been an officer for Canada in the Korean War in the Air Force. And they came and announced that he was no longer Canadian. And, you know, he said, well, look, I'm technically on reserve for the rest of my life. I mean, that's part of the honorable discharge of being in the military. So they said, no, I'm sorry, you're not Canadian. You'll have to leave our country. And so he said, well, then I'm a refugee. And he failed his refugee claim, and they issued an immediate deportation order on a guy born in Canada who fought for Canada. And tell me the sense of that. We had a gentleman by the name of James Pemberton who is a Canadian citizen. And he couldn't prove that he was a Canadian citizen, as most Canadians cannot prove that they're citizens right now. So most Canadians fall into this boat. But James couldn't prove it. He's 19, so they made him a refugee. And then his refugee claim expired, and they were getting ready to deport a Canadian citizen. And we have people that in Canada right now that are completely stateless. So one thing that all Canadians, and every Canadian is affected by this, first off, it gave women equality of rights for the first time in Canadian law, under citizenship law, because remember, citizenship predates the charter, so they didn't have equality of rights in citizenship law. It also changed the rights of passing citizenship to second generation born abroad. Then the other aspect is that the government decided that the only way to prove that you are a Canadian citizen is with what's called a citizenship certificate. And it will take you, I don't know how much it would cost to apply for it, maybe, I don't know if it's $50, $75, but it would take upwards of 2 years to get that. Passports are not proof of citizenship, and neither is a birth certificate. So all Canadians, if they realize that they could have their benefits taken away or their old age pension, and this is happening. I mean, there was an article today in the paper in New Brunswick of a woman that this is happening to right now. If all Canadians realize they could be at risk, I mean, the chances are small, but it could be, they'd be appalled. But the only way they can prove they're a Canadian is with a certificate of Canadian citizenship.
So just quickly here, Don, this may then end up before the courts?
Well, it shouldn't, because we're talking just a handful of people. So I would love to do this behind the scenes and just get it done, but the citizenship minister for over a year and a half will not meet with me, won't discuss it, and is actively going after these last few people. So instead of having any cooperation, we're having the opposite. So we might be forced. And remember, we've already got a Supreme Court ruling unanimously saying that we're right. The Minister of Citizenship, Jason Kenney, is in contempt of court in his actions. And I don't want to go after anybody. I just want to get these people their citizenship and be done with it. And you as a taxpayer should be appalled at the fact that this could cost you $20+ billion for nonsense. Yeah, that might be where we're going, and it'll happen very quickly if the minister won't meet with us.
All right. Well, more at lostcanadian.com. Don, appreciate your time here today, and we'll follow this story. Touch
Thanks,
base
Rob.
Down the road. Appreciate it.
Happy
Don Chapman with the group Lost Canadians. We're back after this.